Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome, everyone, to the Robin Walters Show. Gosh, we've got so much to fit in here today, as always. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, right? As Mr. Rogers would say, of course, I don't live in the Ukraine, so that's not my neighborhood. And sad to say, with all the crime we have in this country, there's a lot of neighborhoods that are no longer good to live in. But it's a feature of our downward slide morally, but more on that later. First, I just want to let you know that if you would, please encourage others to listen to these broadcasts. Give them the podcast login, the Robin Walters Show with spaces between the words, or if it's Rumble, Robin Walters Show with no the and no spaces in the search bar. Our audience continues to grow. Praise God. It is not straight up. It's kind of an undulation. It's up and down, but the up and down is going up. So that the good weeks are higher, and the weeks that are lower are higher than the previous low weeks. So I give God all the praise and glory for that. But we want to do all that we can to advance the program, because there's just things, not to advance the program for the sake of just advancing the program, but to get more of the word out. And the more people who listen, the more it gets spread. It's the way every podcast goes. It's just, so we're relatively new to this. But I thank God for all the growth. What does it say in Scripture? One man plants, another waters. But it's God that gives the increase. So we do what we can and then pray God's blessing to expand the program that we've been doing, but asking God to make it better and better and more pointed and significant as it relates to Scripture, which we're going to try to do today. God gave me some Bible verses that I'm going to share with you later on that point to what we need to be doing right now. If you're in any kind of situation like I am, which is being very concerned about what's going on. But we're going to start today. And I am going to get to the piece about debt, which I mentioned last week that I was going to do, and that got trumped by some other topics that I felt like God brought up and impressed upon me. But we are going to talk about debt later in the program and why it is so critical to where we are, and it also is sadly a symptom of our times, our degradation, and our turning away from God. I'm talking about national debt, but you can apply those things to personal debt as well. But I want to start with a piece that I wasn't even going to cover this, but then when I thought about it, more and more came out, and I thought, goodness sakes, I went from not planning to share it to I must share it. And it deals with a subtlety of the misinformation and disinformation that we hear all the time, the indoctrination, the obvious things you know, because if it's obvious, it isn't subtle. But the subtlety with which news is manipulated is not well known, or else it wouldn't be subtle, right? But it is an effective means by which to incrementally alter what we think, and most of all, maybe, how we think. So I want to take this piece that deals with an article from Politico, but it's entitled Poll, Americans Split Over Florida's Controversial Bills on Gender Identity and Race. Now, your test question right off the bat is, what's wrong with this title? You see, I wasn't going to even read this piece. And then when I read the piece, I saw why the headline is misleading and the subtlety of the left in affecting our beliefs and how we think. So let me just go into the details here very quickly So you know about the Florida Parental Rights in Education Bill, which the left, the queers, have called Don't Say Gay Bill, and that's not it at all. It's sort of like don't screw up my children's God-given sexuality bill. That's my title. That's not what they call it, but that would be correct. But first of all, the poll is not of Florida voters. It's of Americans, which it says in the title, Americans are split over Florida's controversial bills. Now, on dealing primarily on the gender identity, which is just an outgrowth of queer ideology. It said, and you get into the article, a slim majority of U.S. voters who were polled, 51%, support banning the teaching of sexual orientation and gender identity from kindergarten through third grade. So the focus is on a slim majority. This is why they say it's split. But you read further, 35% are opposed. Now, I want to say right off the bat, if 35%, over one-third of America, is at this juncture opposed to teaching queerdom and gender identity at kindergarten through third grade, we're not talking fourth through high school, kindergarten through third grade, if 35% are really truly opposed to it, we're already toast. We've already gone down the rat hole of queerdom. I think I need to do a message just on Sodom and Gomorrah so people really, truly understand what's at stake when the Gestapo assumes dictatorial power in this country, and they are virtually there. But back to the subtlety of this. The slim majority, well, yes, that's 51%. It is a slim majority. But the minority is 35%. So the first point I want to make is whenever you see an article that says Americans are split, what is the implication? The implication they want you to draw is that it's close. It's 51-49 or it's 52-48. There's a split. In other words, the implication is it's more or less pretty close to being even. That's how they're split. Well, guess what? 90-10 is a split. 95-5 is a split. But you see how they use that word? And then they introduce the story as a slim majority. Well, let me ask you, what would we call an election where somebody won by 51-35 and then there were 14% that voted for a multitude of other candidates? But the first two candidates, number one and number two, were 51-35. Would it be a split among the electorate? Well, technically so, but what would we call it in a vote? We'd call it a blowout. We'd call it a landslide. How about mandate, to use one of the left's biggest words, favorite words? Of course, to them, if they win 51-49, it's a mandate. If they lose 51-49, it's a split, it's a close call, and we'll pull an Al Franken, and we need to do three recounts till we finally win. That is point number one. Point number two. Let me see if I... Wait a second. Okay. No, I guess I'm done with point number one. Except to say, I know I am going to throw something else in. Okay, there's a sting operation in Florida the other day to pick up basically pedophiles, those who are human trafficking for sexual purposes with minors. There has been no bigger opponent in Florida to this bill than Disney. Woke, screwed up, debauched, debased, immoral, ungodly, abhorrent Disneyland. I think you should just call it Dizzyland. They're dizzy with evil. My point, the CEO, who is morally corrupt and bankrupt, as is the whole company, I will never take my grandchildren to Disneyland. Forget them. I don't care if the place burns to the ground. I'm not encouraging anybody to torch it. I'm just saying I don't care if it burned to the ground. So you have Disneyland, who's taken a very outspoken position against the homosexual prohibition bill because they want everybody to be queer, I guess. Well, guess what? Four of the pedophiles nabbed in the sting are Disneyland employees. Gee, what a coinkydink. And now all the queers at Disneyland, they're one of the first places to ever have Gay Day. Man, I wouldn't go there unless I took a airbag with me. Barf bag. Well, anyway, what was I saying? Can somebody help me here? No, the inappropriateness of this is so obvious, but the queer contingent, which is huge at Disneyland, is now chastising their CEO for not being even more stringent, acerbic, and caustic in his criticism of Ron DeSantis and Florida Republicans. That's how left Disneyland is. Now, back to the point number two that I need to make as to how the subtleties of mainstream media lead you aside, take you astray. I want to read the cover article headline again. Americans split over Florida's controversial bills on gender identity and race. What's the other problematic word? You know it, controversial. You see, it's the teaching at kindergarten through third grade that kids could be queer, should look for their identity, try to find out whether they're really male or female when God has dictated. That is what's controversial, are the teachers and their curriculum, not the opposition to the curriculum. That's not what's controversial. We hear it all the time in the pro-life world. There's a pro-life bill, and then the anti-life people come out and call it controversial. Well, no, of course, what's controversial is the execution of innocent, unborn human life. That's the controversy, not the alleged controversial bill to reduce that abhorrent practice. So whenever you see the word split and controversial in a headline, take a clue. You are being misled. And I will tell you, when anybody uses the word controversial to me, whether it deals with abortion or queer stuff, I go right back in their face. Sorry, I am not, you know, my wife sometimes says, man, I can't take you anywhere. Went to a rodeo the other night. Actually, it was a PBR, professional bull riding. And they had a bunch of people out on the corner, so with bullhorn and placards, protesting animal cruelty. Okay? I've seen enough rodeos to know that in a rodeo, the only one that gets hurt is the bull rider, not the bull. The bull is just fine tossing that dude, launching him into the stratosphere off his back. The bulls are fine. It's the guys who end up hurt. And when we saw them, people were with, my wife said, look, could you just shut up? Could you just not say anything to them? I said, oh, please, come on, you know me better than that. Why am I going to let this go unchallenged? They said, just ignore them. No, I could not. Sorry, I was not made for a... I'll engage peacefully if the other side's peaceful, but I'm not just going to back down, run away, and just tuck my tail and hide and run and not say anything. That's why this country's screwed up, is because too many people don't say anything. So they're blasting the bullhorn. I stopped and I said to the guy and these two gals, I said, look, you're protesting bulls, which are never hurt. It's the riders are hurt. But where are you when it comes to the slaughter of innocent unborn children? You guys support butchery inside the womb. You are that savage and you're that hypocritical that you're out there protecting a bull which never gets hurt, but you don't say anything about the children who are executed. The women went off ballistic. Now, why was this a good thing to say? Because the guy in the bullhorn then started to F-bomb the hundreds of people walking by and alienated them even more. If they had any thought of changing any attitude, they were so ticked off at what I said, they got launched into the stratosphere and went over the top. I tell you, I had no problem doing it. I had no qualms afterwards. I had no apologies. Look, what does it say in the book of Jude? You know, people say don't be contentious. But in the book of Jude, it says to contend for the faith. That's a command. Contend for the faith. Contend is the verb. Contentious is the adjective. Understand that. So I'm not saying you need to pick a fight everywhere. Trust me, I pick and choose my battles carefully. But when it comes to these, I don't have to stop and pray about this. Well, some things I don't really need to pray about. Really? If the word tells you to do something, do you have to stop and pray about it, whether you should do it, if the word tells you to do it? Well, maybe the word didn't tell me to go challenge these people per se. But I'm going to use that opportunity to make a pro-life argument. And the proof that they recognized their own hypocrisy was revealed in the fact as to how belligerent and over the top they became when anyone challenged them and then challenged them with, what would Al Gore say? The inconvenient truth. Okay, where the heck was I? Okay, so if you see this thing that says controversial, know that somebody's trying to mislead you and that what they're trying to say is that saying the right thing is what's controversial. They don't contend that the wrong thing is controversial. It's you challenging wickedness, you challenging right, challenging unrighteousness, you challenging evil that's controversial. That's a buzzword. Okay. I spent more time on that, but I trust it was necessary. So we have this is what happens when the left is in power and then the left is unbridled in their leftness. So the feds refuse Kristi Noem and the state of South Dakota a permit for July 4th fireworks on Mount Rushmore. Okay? So they've got these are the lefties that are in office, and the left has infiltrated the Department of the Interior. Well, we know what's on the interior of Joe Biden and Pelosi and Schumer and all the others. We know what's on the interior of the hearts and minds of the left, but we also know who's running the interior department here in this country. And so they came out and they had all these lame reasons. Michelle Wheatley, the spokeswoman for the National Memorial in the Black Hills, said, "Not one of your reasons are good enough," basically that's what she said. But along with these other things about it may threaten the environment. What? What threatens the environment about a 4th of July display? It may threaten the local water supply. But come on, and it may disrupt operations of the park's food vendors. Why? So the feds get some more. They're going to have less money to help pay off the federal. To give me a break. And most of all, it will create objections from the Indian tribes. Oh, my gosh. Quoting Michelle Wheatley, "Fireworks are viewed by multiple tribes as an adverse effect to the traditional cultural landscape. The memorial is committed to furthering the nation-to-nation relationships with tribal governments." What a pile. I'm sorry, end quote. Now my part. What a pile of crap. Now, here's the real reason I think that the left, this is a second year in a row, that the Department of Interior has denied the permit to South Dakota, which Trump did. Hey, no problem. Hey, this is a great national monument. It's a great memorial. 4th of July, what a better time to celebrate it. But this is the second year under Joe No Brains Biden that the Department of Interior is prohibiting the event. And I think the reason is because there are no Democrats on Mount Rushmore. Okay. Something I want to bring out here. I mean, this is a side story to the Ukraine, but it's instructive, and this is why I'm bringing it out, instructive for the United States. I want to quote from, I'd like to call him a friend, but I just don't know him. Well, we are acquaintances. We haven't just talked enough to be friends, per se. I know that we would. We're two peas in a pod. But David Lane from the American Renewal Project, I want to quote from a piece that he sent me a little earlier this week. And it's very insightful, but it is a teaching point. Like Barack Hussein would talk about teaching points when he himself never learned anything from any of those teaching points himself. They were propaganda points, and Joe Biden has exceeded Barack Hussein in that effort. Quote, on Monday, January 10, 1994, President Bill Clinton announced the United States' agreement with the Ukraine and Russia to dismantle Ukraine's entire nuclear arsenal, hailing the long-sought accord as a hopeful and historic breakthrough that enhances the security of all three participants. I'm going to stop here a second. I did not know this. Thank you, David, for this. I did not know about that. I mean, that's a while back, and nobody else is bringing it up in the news. Continuing with the quote, the United States, Russia, and Britain then committed, listen to this, to quote, this is part of the agreement that Russia signed, to quote, respect the independence and sovereignty and the existing borders of Ukraine and to refrain from the threat or use of force against the country. Those assurances played the key role in persuading the Ukrainian government in Kyiv, or as I always said, Kiev, but anyway, to give up what amounted to the world's third largest nuclear arsenal consisting of 1,900 strategic nuclear warheads. Continuing. Doubling down on that wide-eyed blunder, Ukrainian officials then colluded in 2016 with Hillary Clinton presidential campaign to smear Donald Trump as a Russian stooge, demonstrating again the massive miscalculation that a Democratic administration would provide better protection against Vladimir Putin's Russia. The result of the 1994 Ukrainian lapse of judgment to give up their military defense assets reminds us of the exceptional intellectual ability of the American founders in masterminding the Second Amendment to the Constitution. End quote. What Lane is saying here is that the Ukraine surrendered their ability to attack, which also means to defend in a sense, because a strong offense is a good deterrent, on the promises of the Ukraine to give up their weapons in exchange for peace, alleged, coming from the United States and Russia. Russia says, give up the nuclear warheads, dismantle that, don't do that, and we promise to respect your independence, quoting from the agreement, and sovereignty and your existing borders, and to refrain from the threat or the use of force against Ukraine in exchange for giving up. I did not know this. Now, the reason maybe it's not talked about, and I have vetted this, this is absolutely true, is because it shows the Ukrainians to not only be foolish, but blundered, maybe even stupid, in assuming that appeasement brings peace. They didn't learn from Neville Chamberlain surrendering the Sudetenland to Hitler, the Treaty of Agreement, the Treaty of Munich, I think is what that was called. But that's why Lane then references the exceptional intellectual ability of the American founders in creating the Second Amendment, which says that a well-regulated militia, and keep in mind a militia is every able-bodied freeman at the time that it was written, which was expanded to include women, of course, being necessary to the security of a free state. See, it's a state that's to be protected against a federal government. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is why we have a Second Amendment. Because as the left says to us, give up your weapons and you will have peace and the police will protect you, is the same as Russia saying to Ukraine, give up your nuclear warheads and we will respect your independence and your sovereignty and your borders. Baloney. They fell for it. This is why we can never give up our rights to our arms. We cannot give up our guns unless we're also ready to give up our liberty. And sadly, the church has gone so silent on this thing. I will never forget a message I was preaching that I simply just happened as part of the announcements that our church was going to have a firearm training session. Our church in the little San Ynez Valley, north of Santa Barbara, I know everybody else was out there spreading the gospel and doing the things that they should and street witnessing and all that. But we decided under my leadership to have a firearms training session because we wanted people armed in the church to be able to defend us in the event that somebody came in and decided to toast us. Because yours truly is a rather outspoken guy, if you haven't figured that out. And I was no different in the pulpit. And we had controversial, as they would say, in my opinion, mainline God-fearing speakers come as guests to the church. So I just simply made that announcement. And a woman and her daughter-in-law, I don't remember if the woman was from England or the daughter-in-law was from England. I don't remember. I think it was the daughter-in-law that was from England. She raised her hand and said, could I say something? I said, well, yeah. She said, why are you doing this? Don't you know that Jesus will protect you, blah, 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 and why are you spending time? You know, she just challenged me right there. She was a guest. And I gave a rather quick answer, and I moved on, took another couple of questions, and she raised her hand again, and she said, may I say something? I said, well, not if you're going to challenge me again. No, then you need to be quiet, because that was out of order. She said, I won't challenge you. Then she went, I suckered for it. I was Charlie Brown and she was Lucy with a football. I fell for it again. And she went on, and I then devoted the whole entire sermon to the biblical basis for the reason for why we have the Second Amendment, all biblically rooted. God gave it all to me. Is it important? Yeah. Has the church been silent on it? Way, way too silent. And one more comment, which you need to hear when we get back from the break. But don't go away. We are coming up to our lead story of debt and why it's bondage to this country.
The Robin Mulcher Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Mulcher Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinmulcher.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Mulcher Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinmulcher.net and use PayPal. Thank you.
Take this job and shove it. ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
We are back. This is the Robin Walters Show. You know, when I gave that message on the Second Amendment and I had all the biblical basis for it, you know why I was prepared for that? Because what goes in comes out is because I'd done a radio program on it. And it just walked right into church with that thing already in my head. I didn't do it just that week before, but I'd done it enough that it was there. And then God blessed it. And it answered a lot of questions. All, a bunch of people said afterwards, gosh, you know what? This was a God thing where this lady interrupted you. And then like the woman, like the demoniac that was bugging Paul until finally he had to turn around and cast the demon out, this woman came after me again and it ticked me off. I said, okay, I'm going to just set her straight. But it ended up answering questions that everybody had. Where's the biblical basis for this? And so it was a blessing. And that woman never walked out. But she never looked at me for the next 55 minutes of that message. She just stared at the floor while her daughter-in-law was rapt. So we reached one, right? You got to reach them one at a time. But the church goes silent on these things. And the church in this country has been silent on so many things. But keep in mind, you and I are the church. We are the body of Christ. It's not brick and mortar. We have not been taken captive. The church, the real church, the body of Christ has not been taken captive. And as David said here, when Peter goes to prison, he considers it just another mission field. And when Paul is hauled off before kings, he calls them to serve Jesus, the high king. We are never captured. We are simply deployed. Remember that. We are not captured. The body of Christ is not captured. We are simply deployed. Well, you know what? I'm going to touch on one other thing here because this is so common sense based, but it never gets talked about. The incredible, ridiculous, stupid, foolish passage of the legalization of marijuana. It's already, the stakes and the deaths are piling up already. Colorado, they call it poly-impaired. They even have a term now. People who are taking more than one hallucinogen or mind-influencing, impairing substance. I guess that's what it would be. In 2021, 691 people were killed on Colorado roads. That was, what is this here? A 44% increase in 2 years. In 2 years, 44% more people are dead in Colorado because of polyimpairment, smoking pot and drinking. So they've always been drinking, always had drunk driving, but 44% more people are dead because of the stupid, idiotic legalization of marijuana. They said the Colorado Department of Transportation data shows that both crashes and impaired driving arrests involving multiple substances, typically alcohol and marijuana, are prevalent now throughout the state. The January report published by the Colorado Division of Criminal Justice analyzed more than 26,000 impaired driving cases. Since 2019, 26,000, and found that 45% of those 26,000, do the math, that's about 12,000 drivers tested positive for multiple substances. You see, nobody gets killed on a Friday night in a highway accident because they didn't smoke pot. No girl ends up pregnant because she didn't get stoned. You see where I'm going with this. This is part of the foolishness, the stupidity, and the almost irreversible course of destruction this country is headed down. And now, to the debt. You say, this sounds boring. Not when you get done with this, you won't think it's boring, because you're going to hear what the Bible says, you're going to hear what our founding fathers say about it, and why, absent a return to biblical standards, we are totally screwed. What is our national debt? Anybody know? Yes, I see that hand out there. 30 trillion plus. 30 trillion plus. And I'm convinced that one of the many reasons why the media is so focused on the Ukrainian thing is because they're trying to make Ukraine to be heroes when they really aren't. They've done a lot of things wrong. This is not to let Russia off the hook by any stretch of the imagination. But they got to scrub Ukraine clean, because now the New York Times has come out and showed that Hunter Biden's laptop thing and all the Ukraine crap is for real. Because now they can finally admit the truth and admit that they're lying, and that they were lying, that they screwed the election up and they distorted it with misinformation and disinformation. And actually, we should have the vote all over again right now, tomorrow. But the other reason is, it allows, as long as Congress can be spending all the time on the Ukraine issue, it allows them to do a whole bunch of dastardly deeds, including spending a gazillions of more dollars, while we aren't looking and paying attention. Now, I read the other day a piece on the growth of the national debt. And the article, again, it was from Yahoo News, and Yahoo News is written by a bunch of Yahoos. What a bunch of left-leaning libtards at Yahoo News. And they are. Who are trying to say that Republicans and Democrats are equally responsible for the growth in the national debt. Now, I will say this and admit, they both bear responsibility, but not in the same proportion. You see, we're back to the polls show Americans are split. Well, he's saying we both bear responsibility, but he never touches on the inequality, if you will, if that's the word, of blame for the debt. I always faulted Donald Trump for allowing the debt to grow, because under his watch, it went from $17 trillion to $20 trillion. Under Barack Hussein Obama, the debt grew three times that, or two and a half times that. But it did grow under Trump, and he did not seem to be concerned, and that bothered me. So he was in for 4 years, and the debt grew by $3 trillion. Joey No Brains, has been in office for 18 months. Well, I'm sorry, really 2 years. I don't know why I said 18 months, but you've been in office for 2 years now. No, I'm sorry. A year, 15 months. I got, the election was in 2020, but he didn't get sworn in until 2021. I'm sorry about the brain labs, folks. It would be actually, 14 months? All right, I got it straight now. Scratch everything I just said for the last minute. Trump in office, 4 years, debt went up $3 trillion. Biden in office just over a year, and what's the debt? $30 trillion plus. Our national debt has gone up 50%, or $10 trillion under Joe Biden in 15 months. And the article I read from the Yahoos at Yahoo News only covered up through Trump. They stopped at Trump. They said, this is how much it increased under Nixon. And then they went through blah, 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 and Clinton. and then Obama, and then George Bush, and then Donald Trump. Never once mentioned Joe Biden. And the article was written last week. But it's, they share responsibility. Well, we don't share the responsibility that the Democrats have. They're bankrupting us because they know it's the way to finally destroy this country is through debt. Debt is bondage. The Bible says, you want a Bible passage, Proverbs 22. I think it's 7. It says Proverbs 22. The borrower is servant of the lender. So if we're up to our eyeballs in hock, $30 trillion, who are we the servant of? Who's the lender? The lender is China. They're the biggest creditor of the United States. But they're taking some of that money and coming back here and buying up industries, buying up land. The amount of farmland the Chinese own in this country, earth-shattering. I hate to say this, but we should just simply take the land back, tell them to get lost. Sorry, you blew $10 trillion on land in this country. $30 trillion. Now, let's break this down a little bit more. What's our population? A little over 300 million, 340 million. But what this comes down to is approximately 100 Do the math. It's a lot of zeros. $100,000 of debt per person, per 95-year-old, per two-week-old. $100,000 of debt and growing at 50% every 14 months. So 14 months from now, it will be $150,000 per person. Folks, there is no way out. You can't get out of this. We are toast. How does a country file bankruptcy? Confiscate your savings? Nationalize industries? Take over your IRAs? They're all things that Democrats love and want to do. Is there a way out? Interestingly, there actually is. I just don't think this country is up to it. Certainly not at this point. You might want to write this passage down. It's really an interesting passage. 2 Chronicles 25:9. And in this story, the Judah has paid for mercenaries to fight against actually the other 10 tribes. But they have spent in Hebrew times and in Hebrew dollars at that time. They spent gazillions of dollars, relatively speaking, to pay for these mercenaries to fight their battles. And then a prophet comes along and says, why do you go to the mercenaries and not to the Lord? For your protection, for your deliverance. Why do you do that? And then the king says, well, we've spent all this money. We have blown all this money on mercenaries. And then the prophet says back to the king, basically, if you trust the Lord, is not the Lord able to repay all this? Cannot the Lord make up for all of your unwise and foolish spending? Now, I'm interpreting this, but it's a very fair interpretation. Cannot the Lord exceed in his grace and his mercy and his favor that which you have stupidly and foolishly blown by going into hock for to spend on mercenaries, or in this case, for COVID payments, or whoever knows whatever it is that we're spending money on, printing it like crazy. Yes, the Lord can make it up, his grace, his mercy, and his favor. But you see, the only way out for Israel of that bad situation to make up for all the money they kissed away was to return to God and to trust him. Are we there as a country? No, we're not. We're absolutely not there. Are we close to being there? No, I don't think we're anywhere even close. Can we get there? Maybe. How do we get there? Maybe we have to crash and burn when we are so ridiculously desperate. But you see, the king of Judah did not turn to the Lord because things were so terrible and out of control, and he was desperate and had no other choice. Why did the king of Judah turn? Because a man of God spoke the hard truth to the powers that be. The man of God spoke truth to power. To borrow a line from all the white-robed women at Donald Trump's last State of the Union, we speak truth to power. Well, first of all, they had no truth, and there's no power in untruth. They didn't have truth. And if you don't have truth, you don't have power. Thy word is truth. That's what the Lord said. And if men of God spoke truth to the alleged powers that be, would they turn? I don't know. If they did, we could be saved. We could be delivered. But more than Russian nukes, more than Chinese nukes, you see, if a war is launched, we have a chance of surviving because we got nukes. But if we spend our way and sell the soul of our nation in debt, we're toast. And the founders knew this. Thomas Jefferson, a departure from principle becomes a precedent for a second. That second for a third, and so on till the bulk of society is reduced to mere automations of misery, to have no sensibilities left but for sinning and suffering. And the four horse of this frightful team is public debt. Taxation follows that, and in its train, wretchedness, oppression, sin, and suffering. Wow. That's the deist. That's the one they said, he wasn't a real Christian. Well, gosh, he knows more than most Christians today. James Madison, I can go on the principle that a public debt is a public curse, and in a Republican form of government, a greater curse than any other. Benjamin Franklin, when you run in debt, you give to another power over your liberty. You see, all Franklin was really doing was paraphrasing the passage from Proverbs 22. The borrower is servant of the lender. Franklin, when you run in debt, you give to another power over your liberty. Well, I want to finish with something that I found a little bit uplifting. Yeah, from the Word. People wonder, how do I do this program? I mean, I'm always dealing in this bad news. Well, I try to find the places of application for the Word to pull us out of this. But also know that I can only take so much of my own program. On the days I do this program, this is a Friday, I will not listen to any news the rest of the day. Now, do I need balance? No, you know what? People say balance, and I used to say I need balance. Well, what do I do when things are so overwhelming? Because I can get overwhelmed just preparing for the program. And people say, well, I need a balance, and that's what I used to think. But it's not balance I need. I don't need to balance good with evil. I need God's Word to be preeminent, not just in balance, but preeminent, which is why off the air I spend so much time in the Word. My mother used to get on me because I wanted to send my children to a Christian school, which I did. She would say they need balance, and I'd say to my mother, why do they need a balance of purity with pornography? Why do they have to have some balance of creationism with evolution? Why do they need to be in a public school where they learn things that aren't true to somehow balance, but then ultimately to putrefy that which is true? I said, no, mother. She wouldn't let us call her mom. No, mother, they don't need a balance. They need the Word of God to be preeminent. My mother never said another word about it. And a few years later, she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I go to the Word. And do I get frustrated? Oh my gosh. You can't even imagine how frustrated I get. I mean, Psalm 120. I go to the Psalms. It says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, deliver my soul, Lord, from the lying lips and from the deceitful tongues. And they are, they're all around us. He goes on to say, when I am for peace, when I speak, they are for war. There's nothing that I say on this program like approaching those animal rights activists that don't tick people off because it's the truth. But I'm not going to quit. You go to Psalm 119, the great psalm that talks over and over and over again about the Word of God and the importance of it. And then go to Psalm 119, verse 136. The Psalm 119, the focus is on the Word of God, and it's so sweet. But it says, rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not the law. There are those times that I have wept, and certainly other times I've been on the verge of weeping because of the sin in this country. But in that same psalm, in verse 139, it says, my zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. You want to know why sometimes I go off on the deep end, I go off the rails, why I am consumed? It is a zeal and a passion because of the sin of this country that I don't want my children and grandchildren especially to live under. I don't take any blame for that. I have no apology for that zeal. Only that sometimes, yes, I get off in the flesh, but just cut me some slack. Just know that my zeal is passion is, I have a sense, I don't know that I love this country more than Donald Trump. I know he loves it. And that was the passion that took him to the presidency. This is a passion that takes me to the microphone. But then, to verse 126, it's time for thee, O Lord. It's time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. They have made void thy law. And my thought is, I mean, I'm not here to dictate to God what he's to do, but this passage strikes me as resonating in my heart. God, isn't it time for you to rise up? Isn't it time for you to work? Well, he is working, I know that. But I can't see it sometimes because they have made void your law. Well, the law of the Lord still applies, but we have voided it in our life and in our country and in our laws and in our judicial rulings. We have made it void as it applies to us. Well, where there's a void of God's law, guess what else comes in? Well, thank you very much, says Satan. I'll take this opportunity. I'll just simply take over, as he seems to be doing. But then I want to finish with one other passage out of 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Well, I'm going to start with 12. No, I'm going to start with 11. These things command and teach. These things command and teach. Let no man despise their youth. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, and now it's Paul speaking, stick to the basics. Until I come, you give attendance to reading. That's the first thing Paul says. Give attendance to reading, the word, to exhortation, to doctrine. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. In other words, that everyone would know and see and hear that you spend time in the Word of God because you speak the truth. You can speak it forcefully without equivocation, without embarrassment, without apologies. You don't walk it back or take it back. You speak it and let the chips fall where they may. Verse 15, I repeat that. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Now, did you get that? You see, our salvation, and it doesn't mean our spiritual salvation, but our preservation, our salvation in this life, we will be favored by God because we favor him. We lift him up, he will lift us up. If we do what, and say what we're supposed to, without equivocation, with a boldness, taking and making no apologies, speaking to those with a bullhorn that are in your face, then guess what? Not only has our path in this life been further paved and set clearly ahead of us and preserved, we are also doing that for others. Know that there are people who are waiting for somebody else to take a stand, and they will come out of the rocks and the caves where they've been hiding, and they will speak up also. God bless you. See you next week. Remember, you sit tall in the saddle. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ.